In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all. I love this image of Jesus in the stained glass that sits at the center of our church. Jesus as shepherd, cradling a lamb, fully human, but not actively suffering. Indeed, he seems deeply at peace here in this image, amongst the rolling hills and lakes, as the light shines forth around his head. I have spent years at St. Joe's meditating on this image, reflecting on the different ways the light hits his face, or the lamb, or the hills and the lakes, each time redirecting my meditative focus. In my own prayer life, I almost never meditate on Jesus's broken or tortured body, as I often find the accompanying images or emotions that arise too difficult to bear. However, as I began Lent this year and began thinking about this sermon and reading medieval interpretations of this story of Thomas, I have discovered an entire devotional literature that focuses specifically on Christ's side wound, the gaping tear of flesh, where both blood and water poured forth as the spear pierced it. The wound itself, for these devotional images, is the centering image and the locus of rebirth. I grew up understanding Thomas as the villain in the gospel stories, a villain second only to Judas, because doubt was cast as the ultimate sin. And conversely, faith without doubt or strict obedience cast as righteous living. Indeed, the moniker Doubting Thomas was thrown around as both insult and accusation. Even after many years of theological coursework and study, I have echoes of this language in my heart and in my body because it is what I learned first. So, as I began thinking about whether something new could possibly be said about Thomas and his doubt, I realized I needed to first return to the actual gospel text, and secondly, to return to my friends, the medieval women who reimagine embodiment and salvation, birth and rebirth. And I discovered that they, as Jesus does in the text, offer abundant grace to Thomas, who asks for the ultimate intimacy with Christ, to touch his wound and feel with his hands as well as see with his eyes and know with his mind the full humanity and divinity of Christ. And by asking for this intimacy, Thomas has been recast in my eyes. He is no longer Doubting Thomas. But instead, I now see him through Julia Kristeva's lens of someone with this incredible need to believe. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus comes to the entire group of disciples, except Thomas, and he shows them his wounds so that they may believe that he is indeed the risen Lord, the same Jesus that they had gone fishing with and watched perform miracles in the street. Jesus offers them this gift and then breathes the Holy Spirit into them. And Thomas, the only one of the 12 who was not there, essentially says, "Wait, I want this too. I want to be able to see and believe and not simply take the disciples' word for it." And Jesus' response to him is decidedly not shame. Instead, he says to Thomas, "Peace be with you. Thrust your fingers into my side." Thomas's desire for the experience of Jesus's wounds is in many ways like our own desire to participate in the Eucharist, to taste the sweet bread and feel the shock of the wine to our tongue. Touch, smell, sight, sound, These are ways that we encounter the physical world that allow us to imagine and participate in the spiritual world. We do not actually know whether or not Thomas touches Jesus' wounds with his hands. The scripture is ambiguous, but he does get to witness them with his eyes. Our bodily senses are very often the mediums that link the divine and the human, which allows us, thousands of years later, to see with eyes like Thomas, to see and witness divine incarnation all around us, to encourage our own incredible need to believe. Medieval theologians understood this deep need for a sensory experience of the divine and often produced compelling prayer books with images like the one found in your bulletin from Bonne of Luxembourg's 14th century prayer book. This image is often referred to as the Holy Wound. And in the Middle Ages, the images of the Holy Wound were created to provide an experience of God by bridging the boundaries between the human and the divine realms through sight, meditation, and imagination. This particular image, a bloodless and disembodied wound turned vertical rather than horizontal, was used to imagine all of the ways in which Christ's wound was the mystical locus of Thomas's faith. And importantly, history and tradition notes that the Holy Wound is the birthing site of the Christian church. It is not merely the mystical place of Thomas's belief, but it is the central site for the Christian church to burst forth and proclaim the mysteries of human rebirth, salvation, and transcendence. St. John of Chrysostom, in his catechetical instructions to the early Christians, says this: "The gospel records that when Christ was dead, but still hung on the cross, a soldier came and pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there poured out water and blood. Now the water was a symbol of baptism and the blood of the Holy Eucharist. Beloved, do not pass over this mystery without thought. It has yet another hidden meaning, which I will explain to you. I said that water and blood symbolize baptism and the Holy Eucharist. From these two sacraments, the church is born. From baptism, the cleansing water that gives rebirth and renewal through the Holy Spirit from the Holy Eucharist." Women like Bonne of Luxembourg and others, as they were pregnant, prepared for birth, often meditated on this image. Jesus' sight wound as a vaginal opening, a space where new life entered the physical world, where a different kind of blood and water pour forth. Jesus' body then acts as one who is able to transgress gender binaries in the same way he is able to transgress human and divine binaries. He gives birth to the church through his side, and we are thus able to see Christ incarnate with our own eyes as the church and its people are reborn, reimagined, and redeemed over and over again throughout the ages. I grew up in a church that did not consider stigmata or Christ wounds in any way except as the title of a horror film. But as I have read and studied, I have come to love Christ wounds and the metaphors that they bring to the spiritual life. Catherine of Siena, a 14th century theologian, describes Christ's body as a bridge flung between heaven and earth. This bridge consists of three great stairways constituted by the three wounds of Christ. And through them, we as humans and we as the rebirth of the church move towards sanctification and salvation through the detachment from sin, the practice of the virtues and love, into union with God. Through Catherine's exegesis of these wounds, I have a new model for how to exist in this world. From his left hand, I detach from my own sins of envy and greed. From his right hand, I practice the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And from the great gash in his side, I know that through Eucharist, baptism, and prayer, I too can experience Christ incarnate once more. As I consider this mystery of embodied redemption through the wounds of Christ, I wonder at this language of salvation that is thrown around so loosely by some. What does it mean to be reborn or saved? I cannot offer apodictic answers, but I do think that on this second Sunday of Easter, we are given a clue in this narrative of Thomas desperately needing to touch the side wound of Christ. Christ's side wound is the physical site of the mystical experience of encountering one who is both human and divine, one who births rituals and love, acceptance and tolerance, and who notably defeats death and despair. When we participate in these rituals, when we participate in love, when we fight against death and despair, we too touch the wounds of Christ and are redeemed. Perhaps salvation and rebirth look something more like meditation on the wounds of Christ, so that we, like Catherine of Siena, have the eyes to see the bridges between the divine and human in this physical world, in this church, and in our own selves. Through these wounds, the church is born and humans are reborn, not once, but continuously. We, the people of St. Joseph's, are in the process of becoming more like the Jesus who lived on the earth and more like the redeemed selves we will one day become. I no longer see Thomas as one who doubts. Rather, I see him as one who most eagerly desires to participate in the holy mystery, to touch and be touched by God. Amen.